Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to another episode of Everyday Truth. Looking forward to winding up chapter number 5 of the book of 1 Samuel. We're talking about letting God lead. Letting God lead. And we're seeing really a dearth of leadership in the nation of Israel, soon to be filled more demonstrably by Samuel. But very shortly, we'll see the anointing of Saul and then David as the country moves into a monarchy. Right now, the Ark of God is in foreign hands. It has been hot potatoed from Ashdod to Gath. Everywhere that the Ark of God goes, the presence of God goes, and the people that are unwilling to recognize and submit to that God are paying the price in a painful, painful way. Their choice, that's their choice, because they could submit and they could recognize what is obvious, and that is that God, the God of Israel, is the powerful God. Verse number 9 of our text. So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 9. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. So we ended with that verse last episode where the people of Gath are suffering the same fate as those of Ashdod. Verse number 10, therefore they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. I'm going to just stop right there, John, and say, why have they not learned their lesson?
That is a great question.
I mean, they saw that simply moving the Ark from, well, first of all, let's go this. Moving the Ark from Ebenezer to Ashdod, that didn't work. Moving the Ark from Ashdod to Gath, that didn't work. So here's their great decision. Okay, well, let's move the Ark from Gath to Ekron. That knowing that this does not work.
Reminds me of something you said a couple of things last podcast, last episode, about how that we often try to just deal with the circumstances, mitigate the problem, rather than truly dealing with the problem. And that is what they're going to continue to try to do right now. And it's not going to take care of the problem because they're never actually dealing with the root issues.
And is there not just a measure of rank selfishness here? And that is, I don't care if there's a problem as long as it's not my problem. So it's really just a self-preservationist attitude. You know, as long as I don't suffer, as long as I'm not diseased, as long as it doesn't happen to me, I really don't care if they have a problem. It's not my problem anymore.
You know, I think it's even good people can have that perspective. I think of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great man of God, one of the greatest kings Judah ever had. But to me, it's kind of a sad mark in Hezekiah's life is, you know, the people of Babylon come to Hezekiah. He shows them all of the stuff in his that he has. And then God sends word to Hezekiah, okay, Hezekiah, you're going to be judged because of this.
This was foolish.
This is foolish. You're going to be judged, but it's not going to be in your day. And Hezekiah's answer, okay, well, at least it's not in my day.
Right, great. Oh, good. At least it's not going to happen to me. And God would often do that, whether it was to Solomon, to say, Solomon, you know, the kingdom's going to retain its integrity until you die, but then it's going to be split. Oh, well, I dodged a bullet. Did you really? I think an honest father, an honest mother would say, I would much rather that the pain be upon me, not upon my children. And that is a very selfish way to look at things. I think sometimes, John, too, we can be selfish with good things. Not just selfish from the standpoint of, well, as long as the bad's not happening to me, it's okay that it's happening to somebody else. But what about this? The good's happening to me, I don't have to share it with anybody else. And sometimes we can be selfish proactively in the sense that, maybe that's not the best way to say it, but you know what I mean. We can be selfish in that, boy, I got the gospel, I got the good news, I have God, and so I'm not going to share it with the next city.
Yeah, I think of the lepers in the Old Testament. You know, their city is besieged and they're running out of food. And the lepers think, look, you know, if we go give ourselves the enemy, they're probably going to kill us. We're going to die anyways. Well, you may remember the story. Listeners, you may remember this. What happened is in the night, God had really vanquished the enemy. And the tents were just laden with all kinds of food and gold. And they started eating and they said, we do not well. We must tell the city about this. That's a great example, Pastor, you talk about. They said, we do not well to keep this to ourselves. We must share this with our brothers and sisters.
So it works both ways. It works both ways. And how often, humanly speaking, do we want the pain that we experience to be someone else's pain, but then we don't want the good we experience to be someone else's goodness? It really just shows you the wickedness of the human heart. Verse number 10, therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass as the ark of God came to Ekron that the Ekronites cried out saying, they have brought the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. So this really harkens back to something we mentioned last episode, and that is we're seeing the disintegration of the camaraderie among the Philistine states.
You know, here they cannot believe this. You know, as you mentioned, they had this great confederation, which typically was a strong confederation, these five city states. But now they're thinking, what are they doing to us? They're sending this ark to us. I mean, they're dying left and right back in their city. And now what are they doing with this?
So God is incrementally showing himself strong on the behalf of all of these Philistine cities. They thought by coming together and fighting the Israelites and seeing 30,000 casualties and stealing the ark that they are strong and their God is superior. But now they're seeing city by city that not only is their God inferior, but their collected resources and their collected effort is also inferior.
You know, I think sometimes even in our lives today, in our ministries, we sometimes see people who get together, you know, enemies of Jesus Christ get together. They seem to be strong confederations. And the Philistines usually were a very strong confederation. But we think, oh, look at their power they have. They have all these people together, all this money. And we think that somehow that is going to defeat the plan of God. We may not think that literally, but sometimes the way we act, we almost act as if that's true. But God can confound the wisest of people. He can get rid of the strongest of people because he is God. And he wants us to understand, look, the God that showed himself strong here, he is the same God that wants to show himself strong in our life. And we can depend upon him to do this to the enemy.
It's interesting how the Bible says that he brought this pandemic upon the great and the small, the strong and the weak, the rich and the poor, to show that when it comes to one's standing before the Lord, social strata and racial, the race that you are, the gender, none of that really matters. It's a matter of human beings must, everyone realize that we must humble ourselves before the strong and mighty God.
It takes me back. You mentioned that past. Takes me back. Something you mentioned a moment ago, actually an earlier podcast, about just the pure selfishness that is involved in idolatry. It reminds me of 1 Samuel 15 when Samuel approaches Saul and says that, you know, rebellion is as witchcraft. You know, stubbornness is as idolatry. Why? Because that is exactly what idolatry is. When we give our affection and allegiance to something else besides God, we really are just being selfish.
And Paul spoke to that to the Colossian believers when he really went to the root of idolatry. He said covetousness is idolatry. It's really a matter of, yeah, you can say you're worshiping an idol or a stone or an image that you've made, but no, the real issue here is you're worshiping yourself. What you want, what you perceive, what you can control. In that sense, lust is an idol. Covetousness is an idol. And too often in life, we deal with the fruit of the idol. We deal with the idol itself. Well, I'm going to smash this idol. But it's not the idol that needs to be smashed. It does, symbolically. But it's the heart issue toward that idol. So I know people that they say, well, I'm struggling with pornography, so I need to put, you know, a program on my phone. Well, that's good. Yeah, certainly try to help yourself with some accountability. But the issue is not the phone. The issue is not the television. The issue is not the internet. The issue is the lust of one's heart. The issue is the covetousness and the anger. And that's what Jesus drove at in Matthew chapter 5. Ye have heard that it hath been said, but let me talk about the real issue. And the real issue is that seminal issue, that below the ground seed issue that's not been rooted out.
You know, they're idols of the heart. And that's so easy to get as an idol in your heart. And also I think about when Jesus talks to the, you know, the Pharisees who are complaining because his disciples are eating with unwashed hands. And that really bothered them. And Jesus says, what you need to be concerned about is the inside. Because out of the inside proceeds, you know, all these wrong things, all these sins that you think are so bad, which are bad, but it's the heart that is the issue.
Mm, look at verse number 11. So the Ekronites they're afraid. They don't want the ark to come. They've seen what's happened at Ashdod. They've seen what's happened at Gaza. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines. So they're establishing kind of this leadership coalition. And they said, send away the ark of the God of Israel. Let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. So now they've kind of suggested a brand new strategy, John, and that is, well, we can keep on playing this destructive game, and that is to pass the ark from city to city, but we can see right now that's not going to end well. So the people of Gaza, I'm sure, were like, we don't want to be next, you know? And the people of Ashkelon were probably like, we don't want to be next. So what do we do? Hey, let's just let it go. And wherever the ark of God wants to go, we're going to let the ark of God go. We're going to see how that happens next episode. But wow, it's the next response, but John, is still a wrong response.
It still is a wrong response. And they're, you know, they never, their cry goes up to heaven, obviously here, but there's never any indication they ever try to seek out a true word from God about what can we do. Think of the Philippian jailer, you know, what must I do to be saved, to put it in his New Testament terms. They never seem to cry out, you know, we want to know, how can we be right with this God?
Right. There's no submission to God. There's no willingness to bring themselves under his authority. It's just, we want the absence of the negative. We just don't want the judgment of God. We don't want to submit to God, but we don't want the judgment of God. So we want to run our own lives outside of the scrutiny of God. Just let us be. Let us be. And that really is the teaching of Romans 1. They knew God. They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Then the Bible goes on to say, therefore God let them do what they want. He gave them up unto their own lusts. He said, okay, if what you want is a life without me, I'll give you a life without me if that's what you want, but you're not going to want what that life brings you. So what the Philistines are saying in 1 Samuel chapter 5 is, we want a life without God. We don't like these negative things that God's bringing. They weren't allowing those negative things to turn them to him. So we just want to be rid of God, and then we'll be happy. We won't have emerods. We won't have judgment. We can just live our lives. But honestly, that's a false sense of security. Because when you push God out of your life, do you get what you want? Yes. But ultimately, you're not going to want what you got. Because your life, lived for yourself, will bring eternal judgment from God, as the Philistines unfortunately saw.
You know, it reminds me even today of some people. You know, God gives them grace to repent. Maybe they're a believer or an unbeliever, and God gives them grace. They're not getting right with God, and then God brings a tragedy in their life. And rather than submit to God and confess their sin, they say, okay, God, if you will get me out of this, then I will start serving you, which is a complete wrong approach to that situation.
It is. And you find that in almost every case, it's disingenuous, because they weren't looking for God. They were looking for a result from God.
Yes.
And even we believers can do that in our prayer. It's not that we're looking for God. It's not that we're looking to submit to God. We're looking for a result from God. And boy, as soon as we get that result, you know, God is right back into his relegated place. And that's a sad, sad thing. Remember, my friends, these are the same Philistines that in one generation will align themselves against God again, against the ark of God again. They've just not learned their lesson. So let's learn, my friends, today to take God seriously. I'm not saying that every negative thing in your life is God trying to get your attention, but what I am saying is we need to have an open, humble, honest spirit and understand that our God wants to be in the very center of the temple. That's your body as a believer. He wants to be in the very center of your life and all other idols, covetousness, lust, anger, distraction, apathy, all of it need to fall at the feet of the God that ought to hold sway in our lives. So it's a great chapter to consider, to meditate upon. I hope you're doing just that. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.